Hi, this is Mike Sommer from the Wax Pack Hero Sports Card Minute, and you're listening to the Rebel Base Card Podcast. Great pull, kid.
If they don't go for this, we're going to have to get out of here pretty quick, Chewie.
You found something.
You found the Rebel Base Card Podcast.
What a piece of junk.
I'm your host, Greg McLaughlin.
He's as clumsy as he is stupid.
Join me as we discuss Star Wars trading cards and card collecting.
We need a statement, not a manifesto.
We'll talk about sets from the original vintage.
No, the one I'm pointing to.
All the way to current releases.
This?
Yes.
All right, let's get started.
Commence primary ignition.
Welcome back, or if this is your first episode, welcome aboard. My name is Greg McLaughlin, and this is the Rebel Base Card Podcast. Tonight we are going to take a look inside the Topps Holocron. We're going to discover that that's really, really loud. No, I have spared no expense tonight, folks, to bring you... Okay, there we go. Calm down. All right. Sorry, that was $50 from Galaxy's Edge. I've spared no battery tonight in bringing you that sound effect. I'm going to put it away before I play with it a little more. But anyway, tonight we're going to take a look at the Topps Holocron series that came out at the end of 2020. And we're going to kind of give you kind of the lowdown. This is going to kind of break it down. I got it into a few parts. We're going to take a look at Holocron by the numbers. We're going to go over what's in this release. Part two, we're going to kind of give you the spectrum of the cards in it. And part three, hopefully, a bit of a review to kind of let you know whether this is a set that we want to break it, box it, or just bag it and move on to the next one. So that's kind of the rundown of tonight. Looking forward to it. I got a few boxes over the break. I'd gotten a hobby box that I'd pre-ordered. Got a couple of blasters. I still have some more cards coming. But in the meantime, what I was doing was I kind of went back into the archives to take a look at where some of the origins of this set may have come from, kind of comparing it and seeing what just makes up the Holocron. So we will get to that here after just a little bit of homestead keeping.
You can waste time with your friends when your chores are done. Now, come on, get to it.
All right, just a little bit of homestead keeping tonight. We just passed the Topps Star Wars Card Trader Return of the Jedi watch party. This was on Friday, January 23rd. And much like the previous two watch parties that were done by Topps Star Wars Card Trader for A New Hope and Empire Strikes Back, this had a few different chases. There was a really, really nice base card set. The border for these were really stunning. Brandon Bernard and his graphic team really did a nice job. There was also, like before, the Did You Know series, although I think this time, and I'm not sure about the last ones, there was a tilt effect to the card where you could see the back by kind of shifting your phone. You could see the front and back of the card without having to flip it, which was really cool. I like those as well. And in tune with some of the other designs of the concept to screen, there was some really, really great Ralph McQuarrie concept to screen artwork cards as well. There were five phases to this, and they kind of did it about every half hour. They started about 15 minutes before they kicked it off. Basically, what they did was they had you go into Disney Plus, or if you had the movie, you would just start it at 7 Eastern or 6 Central, which is where we did. I was over at a friend's house. And, you know, every half hour they would, you'd go back into this event and you would pull some free packs. Beforehand, they did also have some base cards that you could purchase with credits or crystals. But there was also some of these rare exclusive base cards, which were really nice. And then, you know, each phase, you know, you opened up a certain pack. The last one, I think phase five, involved some trading. You had to initiate five trades with some other folks to get those last awards, which was the only point I saw the app kind of bogged down. Whereas in the last two watch parties, they kind of scaled back. The first one was, you know, really started to bog down when they tried to release a lot of cards at once. This one, like I said, at the end when there was the trading, that's the only time I really noticed it bogged down a little bit. But otherwise, I really enjoyed the event. The cards were great. It was really fun to kind of get to watch Return of the Jedi again and watch it with a group of folks. I know I had kind of had a Twitter screen going up and I was initiating some trades with some of the members of Card Squadron. And it was fun. Even for those who, you know, were working, there's still probably going to be these catch-up packs. that will allow you to chase some of the ones I know I was missing. Somehow I think I missed opening a pack, and I missed some of the concept of screen and did you know, but I will most likely be able to pick those up through trades as it goes along. But Topps put out a thank you today, and it looks like they might be continuing this. It'd be really cool, I think, if they did started going into the prequels or maybe the standalone films, Solo, A Star Wars Story. So I'm hoping we'll see more of these, like they said, and it's really fun. Really for a Friday night, especially during COVID, it's kind of something nice to look forward to. And, do I need an excuse to crack some packs? No, not really. But it was kind of fun to be there with everybody, and really, really kind of enjoyed it. We are coming up on the deadline for the Ingrid Hardy Art of Sketch Card book giveaway, which is on the 27th. So you still have, if you're listening to this, you still have a few days to get your entry in. If you go to Rebel Base Card on Instagram and you'll find the Art of Sketch Card post, you can put your name down there, tag a friend, make sure you're following Ingrid and I on Instagram. And then, like I said, there were some little extras if you happen to follow on Facebook and Twitter as well. I'd really like to get this book in the hands of somebody, so we're going to be drawing that on the 27th. I don't have a hard out as far as the 26th, so I'll probably make a cutoff and make an announcement then, but I'd really like, if you're still interested in putting your name in a hat for this book, it's really, really nice. I'll be choosing that on the January the 27th, which is the second anniversary of the Instagram channel. We started back in 2019, so we're kind of into our third year here, and so this is a nice sort of co-op event with Ingrid Hardy, who is going to be doing another version of the Art of the Sketch Card book, and so she was very nice enough to give us a copy we could give away, and I'm real excited to put that into somebody's hands and mail it wherever it needs to go. So at any rate, make sure to get your entry in if you are interested. Lastly, just to kind of give you some updated information on what to kind of look forward to. Once again, we do have Mandalorian Season 2 cards that come out in May. But then really the next set that's going to be released by Topps for Star Wars is that Signature Series that is coming out on February 19th. Now this, much like the Archives, is basically going to be a one card, one box. So it's a random autograph set. And right as I was kind of putting in the notes, it was still trending as far as pre-orders for around $59.60, which is about there. It's one of those, depending upon how you chase, I know some higher-end folks will probably end up getting cases of these, kind of looking for the those big hits so they could perhaps sell them off or whatnot or add them to their personal collection. But I would say if you are following a particular character, you may want to hold back a little bit and just see $60 for a random autograph. Like I said, it's a little bit of gambling there, but it's still a new release if it's something you're interested in chasing. I'll be kind of keeping an eye on things, and I'm kind of looking over that autograph list to see if there's something I want to get. Maybe I'll go secondary market to see if there is an autograph I'm interested in and see how much that is going for. So that is really what's coming out in this at this time. We still have the living set from Chris Penix and Topps, and that's still two cards a week. I've been kind of picking those up here and there. For the most part, I'm pretty steady on that. And now I think they're into the 170s. So it's becoming quite a big set. This also kind of came out in 2019. So Chris has done some awesome work there, and I've really loved seeing the cards. It's always exciting on Tuesdays around lunchtime, about noon central, 1 Eastern, when those new cards, that new pair is released. And you can buy them as a set of two for, I think it's $11.99, or you can buy them individually for about $7.99. Like I said, depending upon those characters. But they really do the spectrum from the movies, from the TV series, because he's put out some Mandalorian ones. I saw that Iden Versio from Battlefront 2 that was in there. That was a really nice card. So that's something, like I said, it's worth taking a look. And some people also get them, they'll buy them in bulk and also put them on the secondary markets as well, sometimes maybe for a little less. So if you're interested in kind of playing catch up, or you just want to kind of check it out, but maybe don't want to have to be structured to that week to get it, there are some other avenues as well. And I've seen people, like I said, on Facebook and Instagram and eBay who are also selling those. Also check out some of the groups, people in those trading card groups on Facebook as well. Alrighty. And just to kind of let you know, we do have some folks coming up on the program. The next episode that has, I've already recorded the interview with artist, sketch artist Marsha Parkins. It was a great interview, a great conversation with her. That will be the next episode of the podcast. We also talked with Frank Hargraves of Padawan Bear. He makes some really rad these patches and stickers that kind of look like some of the old bits of the Kenner card backs and some other great Star Wars patches and stickers from those classic toys. I just recorded his interview as well. And we have got a couple more folks lined up, so I'm pretty excited to put out this next swath of episodes. And stay tuned. I think you'll really like them. We're getting off to a great start this year. I'm really excited. All right, done with homestead keeping. Let's break into the Holocron.
Stay on target.
We're too close.
Stay on target.
All right, so let's break down the Holocron set for you to kind of give you an idea of what's inside this darn thing. These came in two different formats. You could get them as a hobby box or a blaster box. Now, the hobby boxes generally you'd find online from the big three, as well as some of the secondary markets, as well as your local hobby store if they have them in. And basically, those were 18 packs per box, 8 cards per pack. When they were pre-ordering last year, and this was a delayed release. Originally, it was supposed to come out in September, but it got delayed to early, and then late December, it came out around 12:30, December 30th. So by the time it came out, you went from $64.95 on average. Now it's trending at around $80 to $90, and you can, I'll put in the show notes, you can see links to the pages from each of the big three, Blowout, Dave and Adams, and Steel City, to see who's got the best deal if this is a set you indeed are going to chase. The Holocron itself, the set, basically featured stories and information from the entire saga. So it's a 200-card base set with three different insert sets. And on the box, you'd have a guaranteed auto or sketch card, guaranteed. There was a possibility for other hits as well as things like, you know, printing plates and so forth as I'll kind of go down through here. If you wanted to kind of get in the math of it, off of a hobby box, I would expect you to get 144 total cards. You would get 36 parallels, 18 inserts, and 90 base cards. So in a 200-card base set, you're still not getting a full base set with this hobby box. You'd have to kind of dive into either more hobby boxes or blaster box. Speaking of which, the blaster box, 10 packs per box, 6 cards per pack. You'd get a patch card guaranteed. There were also odds of getting some of the bigger hits like, say, autographs or sketch cards or whatnot. And they were listed on there. I know I've told you in the past sometimes the blasters would not carry some of them, or you'd notice that the odds in the blasters as opposed to hobby boxes are different. Sometimes they're greater. But as I've seen on some of the groups and some of the other sites that I follow, people have been pulling autos from blaster boxes. So pretty happy to see those. And once again, let's see. If we go down through the parallels, you had many different variations and colors. In the packs, you generally would find two greens. There was usually the odds of 1-2 for a foil board, or it looked to me like a refractor. You had numbered oranges to 99, numbered purple variants to 10, black to 5, red to 1, and 1-of-1 printing plates. This set also had 25 short print cards, and the only way you'd be able to tell is on the back, you'd have a little S by it. So basically short print. Not many of that particular card was printed. You often see that in sports cards as well. First time I've seen it in a little while on the Star Wars side. On the insert sets, you had Lightsabers of the Jedi, which were a 10-card set. Charting the Galaxy, which were basically different planets within that. There were 20 in that insert sets. And what I liked, I love this Adventures of Han Solo. This was also a 20-card insert set that had different scenes of Han Solo through his journey through the saga, which I really thought was really nice. You had autographs, of course, and according to what I saw on Topps and Cardboard Connection, looks like you had 52 signers. You also had variants, and you'd have base, which was to 99, blue to 90, orange to 25, purple to 10, black to 5, red to 1, and then you'd have these 1-of-1 printing plate autos. There were also double, triple, and six-person autographs cards. I think the, let's see, if I look at the double autos, those were purple to 10, black to 5, and red to 1. The triple had 2-5 and red 1-1. I don't have a listing on the six-person autos, but I do believe those are probably one of ones, or very low. Those were some really, really nice. And once again, you can go on Cardboard Connection. You can see some of the visually what some of them looked like as well. And once again, if you check rebelbasecard.com, I'll have links to current pricing and availability. One of the things to note as we kind of get down here, that this is not the first time that we've had cards of this ilk. And when I get into my next section, we will compare this to the previous cards that looked a lot like these, which were the Galactic File Set. So we'll take a break and come back and go into the breadth of the Holocron.
What's up, everybody? This is Ethan Howard with Coconut Brick Studios, and you're listening to the Rebel Base Card Podcast. Great pull, kid.
We're in attack position now, sir.
Hold here.
We're not going to attack.
I have my orders from the Emperor himself. He has something special planned for me. We only need to keep him from escaping.
All right, so taking a look at what's inside the Holocron set as far as the cards. And, just as a quick follow-up to our previous segment, those blaster boxes tend to run for $20 a pop. So I just wanted to make sure to put that out there. So if we kind of take a look at the Holocron, one thing that makes it very distinctive and kind of related to its previous kin are the card backs, which have a little detail and text on the character itself. And it also kind of gives you these little readouts of the stats, basically, that go over things like force power, intelligence, diplomacy, strength, speed, and fighting ability, almost as if it was a collectible card game type of card. And that immediately harkens back to what I say are the predecessors or the distant cousins of the Holocron series, and that, of course, are the Galactic File Sets. And Topps has released these a couple different times. And I kind of was looking back and kind of looking at some of the previous releases. In 2012, Topps released the first Galactic Files set. And this was a whopping 350-card base set. So right then and there, that kind of tells you that that was a pretty big set. And when you're comparing it to what now with Holocron is a 200-card base set, a little easier if you are a base chaser. But Topps followed that up in 2013 with Galactic Files 2, which was a continuation of it. So basically, another 350 cards, and the numbering reflected that. So the Series 1 went from 1 to, obviously 350, and then you kind of take the second one that went up to 699, I think, was the final card, of course, and there was a title card, making a 700-card base set. It had a very similar back on it, which basically kind of gave you stats for each character. One thing to note about the 2012 ones is that some of them did have some of the Legends characters on them, which kind of make them different from now these current ones, which kind of stick to canon characters. The look of the fronts for both the Galactic Files sets, and this is the 2012 and 2013, they had basically similar fronts to them. There was basically a character with a very distinctive designed border. And like I said, on the back had these stats to them. The thing that the Holocron differs from, and it looks more in line with the 2017 and 2018 Galactic Files Reborn, were the fact that they didn't number them sequentially. They basically broke them down by the movie or medium that they were in. So that kind of made them a little difficult to organize. So whereas with 2018, when 2018 came out, they picked up from there. So like, for example, A New Hope would have, numbers within that subset. And then in the 2018, the round two of that particular Galactic Files Reborn list, you could just move on from there. But when you were trying to put them in a binder or something, unless you had a checklist, it was kind of very hard to tell, where one set ended and the other began. So when I saw that the Holocron were going to look a lot like Galactic Files, just more of a name change, But I did notice one thing else about the Holocron set is that the different factions that they had a cool symbol on the back of the card, whether it was like Jedi or First Order, Galactic Empire, or just Galactic Citizens. And so what I did right away was as soon as I could get some kind of checklist, like from Tops and from Cardboard Connections, I kind of pumped that into a spreadsheet, and I did the factions alphabetically, which I thought was the only way I could figure out how to organize this. And so on the back of the Holocron, you'll have things like First Order will be F-O, Bounty Hunters would be B-H, that kind of thing. So I organized them, and then I kind of numbered them in my own little spreadsheet. I know it's kind of nerdy a bit, but that way I could tell when I was putting them in the binders, like basically where I was going to go with this. And if I was going to go looking for trading partners or picking up some spares or dupes or things that I needed, I had to kind of figure out where everything goes and what it was going to kind of look like. It was kind of interesting also that these factions in Holocron, they weren't necessarily groups of equal size. You might have a Sith group that only had three. Saw Gerrera was his own card. So in some cases, there was more, especially when we got into sections like Rebels or Resistance or Republic. And so once again, since this set, kind of went across the spectrum of characters, you had a little bit of everything. But some seemed to get more love than others. One thing of kind of note is that some characters did get multiple cards. And I thought, which is kind of interesting in a set like this, where if you were going to have a subset of Republic, you had to hit to highlights. But I thought it was curious that some got more cards. And I guess, when you're comparing, like, say, a 200 card set versus a 350 card set, there's not a whole lot of extra room you could put there, depending upon what subset you're kind of working on. And I know this kind of gets a little into the weeds a bit, but I think when I kind of got them into the binder, I could start kind of seeing, what they were kind of shooting for. In some cases, getting with the First Order, making sure to get those Knights of Ren. Those are pretty much you're going to have, the 6 to 8 of them there. You may have Yodas that are fairly close together. You might have a Yoda from The Phantom Menace, from Attack of the Clones, or from Revenge of the Sith. You may end up with, and then he might show up later on. I think I'm looking at it. Here's another Yoda from Empire Strikes Back. Here's a Yoda from Clone Wars. So in which case, you're going to have several of certain characters. And, I know that has to be very tough when you're kind of coming down with that list of who we're going to put in and what we need to. And which Yoda, for example, which Padme would you pick? Really tough, because across the prequels, she has all different manner of outfits. Some of these spectacular ones, and so very tough, but very interesting to note who they decided to put in there and how many of that particular character they gave. So I don't envy those choices there, but I think it's something to kind of worth mentioning to kind of go, it's kind of interesting, and it's not until really you see them, say, in a binder that you can kind of get that story. That's one of the reasons why I do like when I'm doing it, working on a set, working on a project, I kind of want to see how it's unfolding and really kind of see what the story they're trying to tell. One thing I did like about the Holocron as opposed to the Galactic Files, and like I said, the Galactic Files, both iterations, the 2012-2013, as well as the Galactic Files Reborn, had some very wonderful design to them. But I would say the Holocron is a little sort of a less is more. You're going to see on the front, you're going to see more of the picture go to the edge of the card. And at the bottom of the card, you have more of your border, as it will. And the bottom sort of reminded me of the top Star Wars card trader, the 2020 base, where you had this almost looking like the hallway of the Millennium Falcon, where you have that sort of those padded blocks. So I kind of like that because there was more of the picture and a little less of the border. And sometimes I've seen that. I kind of like that better. But it did give it a distinction. And also, importantly, when you got into the variants, you could really clearly tell the variants if it was a green or an orange or a red or black or whatnot, because those blocks would change color. Whereas in some cases, I've seen variant cards of the top set, maybe only change the font itself, and sometimes it was a little hard to read. So that's just when I'm kind of looking at that. I really liked the insert sets. Once again, we had that Charting the Galaxy, which had basically, it was just different planets. And it was kind of nice to see where you get a little information on that particular system. Lightsabers of the Jedi was one that I was able to finish right away. Between the hobby box and the blaster boxes, these had Luke Skywalker, Anakin, Obi-Wan Kenobi, Yoda, Mace Windu, kind of your greatest hits there. Shaak-Ti, as well as Kai Adi-Mundi, which I thought was an interesting put there. Ahsoka Tano was in there, and Kit Fisto. So 10. Once again, when you're picking Jedi and their lightsabers, it's what I would expect to see there. I do like that on this particular card, you get kind of the close-up of the lightsaber as well as a character. And so you do kind of see that. So, and then there's more information on the back. Like I said, a lot of good information on these texts as well. The Adventures of Han Solo, which I know I need a little work on. That was a 20-card insert set. I like the fact that I saw stuff from Solo, A Star Wars Story, Return of the Jedi, A New Hope. You had some from The Force Awakens. So kind of, you know, going across the spectrum of his journey. And I really did like it. I thought that was really nice. The numbered ones on those, a little tricky in some cases when there's not a whole lot of border there. You kind of had to kind of keep an eye on things. Let's see. Yes, because I did get a numbered variant of one of the Adventures of Han Solo, The Occupation of Mimban, which on this one, can I just see real fast here? I think that was an orange non. That was a non-numbered one. I think that's the case. Oh, no, it was 17 out of 99. Sorry for that. I was just kind of looking at that. It seemed just out of my reach as I was going to it. But anyway, so once again, I think if you're going to attack this, it depends on what you're kind of trying to do. And we'll kind of get into that in my next segment, whether, you know, when we're talking about, is this a set to chase? Is this one to kind of pick up later? Depending upon how you're kind of looking at it, or are some of these characters you just have to have? And as well as I didn't even get into the signers. I got I think it's Christopher Edger, the voice of Eeth Koth, one of the Clone Wars Jedi. And then my sketch card pull, I was fortunate enough to get two hits out of my hobby box, was a great Jerry Garcia sepia sketch card of Qui-Gon Jinn, which was amazing. It was also nice to reach out because I know he's on Instagram as well and let him know that the card was pulled. A lot of times those sketch artists, right when the set is released and when the NDA is lifted and they can show you what they're working on, they love finding out that their cards are pulled. And so a lot of times I try to reach out. Sometimes if I'm lucky enough to get them on the show itself, talk about it. But in this case, still working with Jerry to see maybe if he can get on the program to talk about. But it was a wonderful sketch card. Maybe only the second or third one I've pulled from a box. I think maybe the third. And so those are getting a little harder to pull. But the autograph was there, of course. And I always enjoy that and seeing those. This is a autograph on sticker card as well. And unlike, say, Masterworks, which is an on-card autograph. And you can kind of see the difference when you're kind of looking at them. So sometimes those on-card autographs are worth a little more because they're actually autographing the card itself instead of just a sheet of stickers. But either way, an autograph is an autograph, something that is really, really nice to chase. All right, that's kind of my holocron by the numbers there. And we'll get into my next segment. Is this something for you?
Hi, this is Dominic Pace, and you're listening to the Rebel Base Card Podcast. Great pull, kid.
We still have 50 Star Wars baseball card collections left.
And that includes the Chewbacca if he played for the Brewers card.
That is lovely.
He's a second baseman there.
Yeah, beautiful.
That's a good-looking card.
That's a winner.
All right, and for our last segment tonight, we'll kind of take a look at my final thoughts on the Holocron release. I don't know if any set is really final until you get a master set, so that sounds very ominous on my part. But a lot of it has to come down to what I think about this set, and is this something that you want to chase, and how do you want to chase it? As I kind of pre-ordered, when I originally was ordering this last year, I'll give it a little context. There were three sets, I think, at that time, or mid-last year, that were available for pre-order at the same time. You had the Chrome Legacy, Resistance versus the First Order. You had the Mandalorian Season 1, and you had Holocron. And they were roughly, I would say, within you know, 10, 20 bucks about the same price. And so pound for pound, because the Mandalorian Season 1 only had 7 or 8 packs per the per their tin, Chrome Legacy was, I don't know if it was a full set and not at the time, but to me, Holocron had more packs per box, and so it felt more like a value. And at the time, you know, as we're going through, as we're kind of getting into the summer last year during the pandemic, you know, we hadn't really seen some of the effects of the pauses in manufacturing and distribution. And so I kind of put down a pre-order for a box of Holocron. And, you know, as thinking that, well, okay, you know, I wasn't expecting prices to vary. And so I'll pick up Mandalorian, you know, when I can. And Chrome Legacy was one I was going to maybe pick up a little later. I think I just picked up a full base set of that off of a secondary market. So that's how I kind of was attacking it, more on a cost-wise. So what ended up happening is that the prices for the Mandalorian started going up. The Holocron got pushed back. And so in which case, you know, money-wise, it probably would have been smarter to do the pre-order of the Mandalorian before those prices went up. But, you know, hindsight is always 20/20. I would say as a base chaser, and that's something that you'll see when you see different, if you are involved in some of the, you know, the Facebook groups or trading groups, some people will go into this getting hits, and so they will buy hobby boxes or cases to pull out the, hopefully, the autographs and sketch card. You know, whereas, you know, I think a 200-card base set, which is a little high for, you know, what we've seen in the top Star Wars realm, you know, they've usually been around 100. But as you saw as we were talking about the Galactic Files, you know, originally those were 350-card base sets. 200 is a bigger one, but with if you're going into the hobby boxes, you know, 18 packs at, I think, 90 base cards, as I was doing the breakdown earlier, it's tempting to kind of make a run for it. Also, the fact that these were available in blaster boxes for 20, where you're getting, you know, 10 packs of 6 cards each with that guaranteed patch card, that, you know, if you were trying to piecemeal this, if you were just you're a casual fan or something, you kind of want to check them out, the blaster boxes are a little easier to stomach. So I kind of, you know, once I kind of knew I had that hobby box in the bag, and I actually have another hobby box that's still, it's on order, and David Adams is still kind of working on getting me. I think they kind of had a little bit of a mix-up there. I thought that a way that maybe a casual to mid-level fan, you could probably mix a combination of blaster boxes and maybe a hobby box, one or two. That might keep the prices down a bit, but still allow you to get that guaranteed hit, you know, that guaranteed auto. That's something fun to chase. It's fun to open those packs, but also give you a good chance at getting a good chunk of the base set. So after a hobby box and two blaster boxes, two or three, was it three? No, I think it's just two. I was able to get 100 of the base cards, so basically 105. I did fill out the insert set for Lightsabers of the Jedi. I got about half of each of the other two insert sets, The Adventures of Han Solo and the Charting the Galaxy. So it's going to still take a bit to get some of the others, and I can go about this in one of two ways. I can kind of look to some of my trade partners, because if you're buying, the more boxes you buy, the more dupes you get. It's just math. And so I do have some trade bait that I might get a little closer to it. And I'll be curious, once I finally get this other hobby box, what's going to be in there as well. So, you know, I figure with the other hobby box and another 90 base cards, obviously they won't be all the ones I need. That'd be great. That'll probably get me, let's just say, another 30 or 40 cards in. So I would still probably need maybe another at least 30 or 40 cards to do the base set. So in that case, I would probably leverage my trades first and then try to get it down to where maybe only I'm only having to pick up card by card off of eBay. That would be the dream for this project. And then that way I can enjoy another hit, another nice pull perhaps, get closer, maybe fill out another of the insert set, and then not be too far away from finishing this off. Is it a set that you should chase? I liked it. I thought the card design was very nice. It's kind of nice when you're looking at a theme, and these are characters. The cards are gorgeous looking. I love the text on the back. It kind of makes for multiple revisits to that set, where you can kind of find out, and you can kind of see the differences of how they were gauging the characters based off of their quote-unquote stats on the back. I also like the fact that the factions were clearly marked on the back with their symbol, so it kind of makes it interesting, or even have the Mandalorian symbol on there as well. And the fact that there is not really a whole lot coming out till May does give you a chance to do this and not feel like you have to finish this up quickly before the next set's coming out. And as we talked, The Mandalorian Season 2 is coming out in May. The prices for that are already a bit high. You're seeing some of those pre-orders running around, you know, well over 100, 130 or so forth. So it is something where, you know, if you're wanting to kind of do a casual chase, I expect Holocron to be in stores for a bit. I would also expect Mandalorian cards also to be in retail and blaster boxes as well, hopefully. So it's some nice to kind of pick up if you're making a Target or Walmart run. You can kind of pick this up. You know, maybe you decided this is not, you know, I'm not going to worry about chasing the whole base set, but I'll just dig some cards. Maybe I like some of the factions. Maybe I like a particular character, and so I want to collect all those characters, the iterations of the character, where regardless of what set they're in. So this does give you an idea, like if you like particular characters, these are certainly ones that are very nice. And like I said, the autographs and the sketch cards are always something I like to chase on it as well. And so, like I said, this is going to be a project I might be working on for months, but it's okay because there may not be as many releases this year as last year or the year before. So, you know, it's kind of something I can kind of have a nice little project that for that rainy day or that Saturday morning where I can just kind of go through and see what I still need and not, like I said, feel the pressure of moving on right away to that next set. Which, you know, like I said, we have that signature series in February, Mandalorian Season 2. So Holocron, I would make a recommendation. I would definitely have you check out, at least get a blaster box. Check it out. You'll get a very, very nice patch as well as a potential for an autograph for a $20 down payment on it. It's not too bad. $20 to get some, you know, some decent amount of cards. And even if you are, you know, just one of those where every now and then I want to pick up, right now, I'm still seeing some availability in there, unlike, say, on the sports card side, where a lot of times these blasters at your stores are getting gobbled up by folks who are trying to look to make some money to flip them around because the market is moving that way. I don't know how long the market is moving that way, but a lot of these things are getting gobbled up and sold. So I think it makes it a little tougher on the casual collector, as well as one that just wants to kind of pick up a range of cards. That even if I was maybe interested in picking up that particular card, now I'm feeling I'm competing with folks who are trying to flip and make a quick buck. And all about the capitalism edge, you know, hey, do what you need to do. But I think it makes it a little harder on people coming back into it that they're looking for a bit availability. And if you've got new people who are just starting to get back into it, it won't take too many disappointments before they kind of go away for good. And so I think there is still an opportunity here while we're still mostly indoors. I know things are opening up, and I hope all of you are well, and you and yours. But while we're still inside and still while these indoor hobbies are all the rage, whether it's a puzzle or whether you're doing board games with the family or friends or you're doing those online Zoom chats, cards are a great way to kind of pass the time, whether we're indoors or out. And so I just want to make sure that people who are interested in the cards have availability to them. And so once again, if you go to rebelbasecard.com, I know they update the show notes, you can look through and find some of the links of the things that I talked about tonight, some of the prices for these, some of the places I go when I'm looking to not only find out more about cards, but pricing as well. And like I said, if you take a little bit of time, hopefully the availability is there. Sometimes I need one more coffee. I poured a brand new cup of coffee and I didn't drink it this entire show. So once again, you know, I'm going to kind of put this episode to bed and, you know, we will kind of, oh, and now the Holocron won't come back on. Anyway, there's it. There we go. I'm going to have to fire the Holocron. There we go. I know. See, that's what you get. You get what you pay for. It's a great Holocron, by the way. If we ever can get back to Galaxy's Edge, this is the Jedi Holocron, and I want to get the Sith one the next time I'm out there.
So anyway, so much for the special effects. I don't know if they'll come back. Maybe I'll just record it and edit it in later so it makes it look like I know what I'm doing. Anyway, I hope that kind of gives you some idea of whether or not the Holocron is right for you. And I really hope that you've got a lot out of tonight's episode. Gave a lot of information. And once again, a lot of great stuff coming up in the future on the podcast, and be putting stuff on the Twitter page and the Instagram page. So I hope you continue to join me on this card journey, and get some Holocron cards for yourself. However you do it, I think you'll agree they are a great card, and I'm happy to have them in my collection.
Don't think me to be rude. I must take this call.
If you have any feedback for the show, you can reach out to the program in a number of ways. You can leave a comment on the Instagram post for this episode, or you can DM me at Rebel Base Card on Instagram, where you can also find me on Twitter and Facebook at Rebel Base Card. You can email the program, greg@rebelbasecard.com. You can find the show notes for this and all episodes on the website, rebelbasecard.com. In the Star Wars Card Trader app, you can find me at CornFedTech. I use the hashtag CardSquadron, not only for a way to put out the word on cool cards and card collecting, but as a way to bring the community a little closer together. We collect, communicate, and commiserate when we run out of credits and crystals to spend in the app. Join in on the fun. Plus, well, all the other cool squadron names were already taken. We collect as one, and would be honored if you would join us. And if you were a sketch card artist or Star Wars artist or collector, cosplayer, and want to talk about your work, your craft, your passion, please drop me a line and maybe we can work something out. I'd love to get a chance to hear your story. You can also help out the program by leaving a comment and review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get this podcast from. Otherwise, keep those cards out of the hands of the Empire, folks, and I'll talk to you soon.
The music for this podcast is brought to you under a Creative Commons license from Trent Reznor and Nine Inch Nails. This is Discipline off the album The Slip.
This podcast is not affiliated in any way with Topps, Disney, or Star Wars, nor is it endorsed by Disney or Lucasfilm, and is intended for entertainment and informational purposes only. All names and sounds, and any other related items, are properties of their respective trademarks and/or copyright holders here in the U.S. and abroad. The official Star Wars website can be found at www.starwars.com.